Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. This week, our guest is Farida Caesar. Farida is a musician and launch strategist, and after 15 years on the road touring as a musician, Farida switched gears and now helps entrepreneurs launch their big dreams in online courses. She regularly delivers her wisdom in the form of a ukulele and a song at www.farida.com.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Farida. And we always like to get started by asking, what was your kickstart moment?
All right. So my kickstart moment was for this online business. I was an entrepreneur before this as a musician, but my kickstart moment was that I was super broke. It was like 30 grand in debt. And I finally tallied it up. Cause if you've ever been in debt, like you have like debt pockets everywhere and like keeps you safe because you don't put them together and add them up. So then I put them together and I was like, holy F, I am effed. What am I going to do? I actually am a musician, but I make no money. And the reason I make no money is because I don't value myself. I don't think I'm worth anything. And so I'm not making any money. And I need to quit touring right now and start a business because I'm getting married and I'm going to have a baby and I need to sort out my money, but I have no skills. What am I going to do? And so I quit tour and I came home and, my partner was like, okay, this is like some sort of mental breakdown. What's going on? And it just so happened that I got an opportunity to get a spot in an entrepreneurship school that really helped me in the coming months just like figure it out. And I kind of been starting with this like online business, kind of learning about it. And so that was my impetus to start, was just like a desperate need to get out of debt. And I felt that at that point, I knew I had really good marketing plans. And that probably people would pay me to write marketing plans for them. So that's kind of just where it started. And then, I take action really fast. And as I did, my business morphed and changed into something far more enjoyable than just writing marketing plans. And so, yeah, it just kind of went from there. I just took action. Nope. Took action. Yes. And then moved through it. That was my impetus.
That is awesome. I think that's probably the most honest answer yet, especially the fact of just realizing how broke you are and deciding to change that.
And that happens with any business, right? I think we can start businesses and they might have worked 2 years ago, but suddenly they're not. And then suddenly you're just like, oh, crap. What am I going to do? I hope you can, I guess you can beat that out if that's not. If you don't have the X-rated version on this podcast.
It's okay. We can specify per episode.
Oh, great. All the podcast interviews with Faraday involve.
No worries. I think crap is allowed, though. I don't think.
Yeah, probably.
Outside the exit. Mary Beth had mentioned at the Savvy conference that people are more inclined to tell you how many people they've slept with and how much money is actually in their bank account. Mm. And that also applies to how much money they're in debt. Nobody really wants to say that number. So to hear you just, this is what happened. I had a load of debt and I needed to do something about it. It's refreshing. So you being a musician, and I know that a lot of us, especially me, and I know a lot of savvies do as well, love how you've tied the music to your business and you have all those fun parody songs that we get to laugh about and enjoy and uplift us in those times where we want to, strangle a bad client.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But outside of music, where does your inspiration come from?
Well, my inspiration, I really love business. So it's a great passion of mine. I've always been when I was 13, I started reading books on business in the music industry. So it, for me, it's very exciting. I have a rule that I can't read business books after eight because I just can't sleep, you know, when I'm trying to apply them. So it's really by like industry leaders and like what's going on, and specifically from other industries. I always think that when we pull from other industries, then we become more innovative in our fields. And yeah, that's kind of where the inspiration for, I mean, for my businesses, I mean, for my songs, like especially about like clients from hell or like those kinds of things. It's just like everyday life or Facebook groups, right? You just like see this comes up, or I just straight up ask people like, what would you like me to write a song about? And sometimes I'm like, that's a terrible idea. And sometimes I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, these songs are super short too. Like they're only, sometimes they're only a minute or two long, right? Yeah. I mean, I can write anything for a minute or two song.
Yeah, no, the You're Fired is probably my favorite, which is like playing in my head right now. So you talked about industry leaders, and especially not just sticking to your own industry, but looking outside it so that you can be innovative inside your industry. Who are some of those industry leaders that you turn to that, you know, you really enjoy their books or their teaching?
Pardon? Oh, yeah. Dog in the side. I love it. He's trying to sing. He's just like, ooh. So, you know, I mean, in the online sphere, I mean, I love Denise Duffield Thomas. She's probably the only one I actually read pretty regularly. Yeah, I love Heather, obviously. I love Leah Kalamakis. She's in the Freelance of Freedom. And a lot of times, I mean, she's just like somebody I get to meet with and talk with. So she's just surprisingly a bit strategic in ways that I am not. So I'm always like learning from her. And then, you know, I read like the Amy Porterfields and those kinds of things. And then in my music business, I'm very lucky in the way that I don't have to go searching so much for people outside my industry, because I straddle two industries. And so both of them teach me. However, you know, my husband also works in a completely different industry, in the healthcare industry. So we learn a lot just, you know, through contacts. And the biggest people I learn from end up being my collaborators, right? Like Leah Kalamakis, who, you know, we just like met in a Facebook group a bazillion years ago, became accountability partners, and I still learn from her, or the three other women in my band, because once I quit music, I ended up starting a side project that became more and more and more successful over time, which is like blowing my mind. And now I'm in a place where I'm wondering, do I have to switch gears again? Like, do I have to go back to music? But these women in my band, the thing about having a band is that it's actually a business. 10% music, 90% business. And so the women in my group are very savvy at, you know, strategic planning and publicity and social media. And I learned so much, maybe not by their tactics, but how they approach things and their thinking patterns. And I see, and I'm sure you experience it too, Samantha and Nicole, like the power of the two of you and how together you overcome your each individual weaknesses. That's kind of what I really notice in my group, that there are places that I am not strong where somebody else picks up the piece, and suddenly, you know, and I think particularly with women, because we don't see this very much now, and we're seeing it more and more and more. And I mean, you haven't seen this as much in the past, women collaborating and that power. And as we do, we are unstoppable forces, like, woo-wee.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. Like, it, having people around you that aren't necessarily the same person really build you up more so, because they're not really comparing yourself to them. You're actually embracing their strengths and their gifts that they bring to the table, as opposed to always like looking over your shoulder like, oh God, is like she doing the same thing as me, even though she's like technically on my team.
Yeah.
And I recently, so this is like a fun little side story. I recently had a conversation with someone in my town of Nashville. And she basically was like, there's now a new personality test, you know, more so than like the Myers-Briggs and all those other things, that shows you who you are supposed to be in a team. Like there's 8 different people or 12 different people on the team, and it shows you who you are and then who you need to bring on in order to make sure that like you're building the best team possible.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's called like the Gabriel experience, I think, but it seems like you're doing that already with making sure you surround yourself with people who just have different strengths than you and make sure that they build you up as opposed to tear you down.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, you know how we attract things into our life so that we can work on them?
Mm-hmm.
Like I found women terrifying before I started collaborating. Like I just had so many experience with like female bullies. I started this group and was like, I do not want to be friends. I'm just, this is a business and we will not be friends, you know, because I, all that comparison, all that competitiveness, all that stuff that I personally experienced, you know, when I was like seven, like these people are now 20 years older, 30, you know, 20 some years older. Of course they're different people, but you know, and I didn't experience that until I started a business with these people and then discovered that power and that it's, yeah, like there's no need for competition or comparison. You're on the same team. And actually, you know, it's incredible to see somebody be so much better than you at something. You're mm-hmm. like, oh man, brilliant. Or, you know, there's many times I'll say like, that won't work. That's just, oh, look, you were right. What?
Oh, I love that attitude about how you kind of foresee things now as opposed to how you saw them when you started. Mm-hmm. I know Samantha has a similar experience too. When she first started with the Facebook groups and everything like that, it really was about who can like outsmart like the person in the group or who can promote themselves the best and sell themselves. And I feel like I'm very new, so I've never really experienced that. I've only been really engaging in Facebook groups since I started my business in like March of this year. Mm-hmm. And I've really been able to see that it really is more of a community now instead of like focusing on who can sell the best and who has like the best experience. And then totally different from my corporate experience. Like corporate, it's always who can like climb the ladder the highest and like who's going to elbow you off and make sure that you get dropped down and they get brought up or whatnot. So I love the fact that you also compare everything that you've done to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all this learning. And I think it is too, like that feminine model that is moving through the world and bringing the balance that we've needed. Like, cause obviously that ambition is really important. You know, sometimes we have to make tough choices. It's just like, sometimes that becomes that masculine, I mean, so-called masculine model can become so extreme, right? We need both models to really make a holistic, because if we're always serving them, we're not actually making the money, right? Like being like, oh, let me help you. Sure, I'll help you for free. That's like the female extreme, which is not helpful, or the so-called female extreme. And we need those two models to come together to really bake, you know, the ferocious entrepreneurs that we can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny because I literally just had this conversation with Tanya Rainier. She's a fantastic money mindset coach. Because I did help her with something and she was like, how much do I owe you? And I said, I don't know. I said, I'm only gonna say this because it's you, Tanya.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know.
You tell me. I have that people pleaser and helpful nature that I have a really hard time that when I'm being helpful, trying to attach money to it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing if I have somebody coming to me who says, you know, hey, I need this done. How much is it going to cost? And I give a quote up front and then we sign contracts and we go for mm-hmm. it. But if I'm helping somebody like a friend, even if it's a fellow entrepreneur out with something and they come back and go, how much do I owe you? I have this really hard time attaching. I'm like, no, I did you a favor. Like, mm-hmm. It's that trying to balance those two things out and making sure that while it's okay to do that, not always doing that. Otherwise, I never. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes we have a hard time receiving. The giving is the impulse, which is like an incredible ability of ours that we want to preserve and protect. You know, like I did read this one book on money mindset and I was just like, what is this BS male privilege about how you should charge your friends? Like, you want to ride to the airport? $20. You want me to pay? Just like, no, that's not the woman I want to be. That's not money mindset to me. That's like not, I want to give and receive, you know, and it's, I think sometimes we have more capacity to give and so we can give more freely. And sometimes there are less, like I can help you, but I need to get paid for it because I'm giving too much in this other arena, like this balance, right? And I think that we have to check in with it. It's always, and it may fluctuate what we can give and what we can receive at one point or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And I think it's, it even falls into not even just in the money side of things, but I know Heather's talked about this too, is, you know, being supportive and helpful of others. It's really hard as women to say, hey, I need help. I need somebody to step in and be able to receive that or even ask for it. But it's so easy for us to see somebody else in need and say, how can I help you? And so it's not even just the money. It's everywhere.
No, it's everything. It's everything. But just money can just be a very visual sign, you know, and that's kind of when I thought about my impetus, that was a huge thing was, you know, I did make a lot of money very quickly. And a part of it was just charging for things I was already doing for free. You know, like I was able to, like 4 months later, I had a $13,000 month. And it was because I charged for things I was already doing for free. And that was, you know, that was this mindset thing. And that was, and I needed help. So I had to charge for those things. Yeah, that help. It's just that money is a physical reflection of what's going on inside of our hearts and minds.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's a huge thing too, is that happened with the pivot in my business. When I pivoted to start doing more of the coaching and strategy side of branding and design and everything versus just actually doing the design and the websites, I realized I was already doing the coaching and strategy side. I just wasn't charging for it. Because I had clients who came to me and they didn't know what they wanted.
Right.
I worked with them through it. And now I charge for working through all of that. Just charging for the design. But that was something that... it was like, I'm already doing this. I'm not making the money for it, but this is the part I actually enjoy. Okay, let's pivot this. Let's get paid to do this stuff that I'm already
doing. Yeah, exactly. This is valuable. They come away with something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I love that. So you have some very unique qualities about you, the music and other things. How do you feel that all of the uniqueness that surrounds you has helped you succeed?
Well, I think the bounty of coming from the position of being a musician into starting a so-called like regular business or whatever is that while I had other jobs and advertising, I hadn't learned how to like squish myself into a box like other people have. In fact, in order to be a successful musician, you have to kind of accentuate little parts of you so that people can see you better online. Right. So I notice online, lots of people are very boring because they do not know how to accentuate themselves. Like their brand is boring. They're afraid of people not liking them. Right. So they kind of become more bland. What you learn from the stage, you know, I'd learned night after night, especially on this one tour, I'd notice that show didn't go very well. And I'd reflect on why. And it was because I was fearful. And so I pulled back on saying something. And so, whenever I had a really great show, it was because I wasn't fearful and I said something that seemed crazy to say, but made a lot of sense. And so that's, I think, successful because it's on what's led to my success. And I wouldn't say like, I'm like this crazy successful person. Oh, no, not really. And it's always changing and moving. And obviously I have continual, you know, what I achieve now is not enough. Whereas before it was a dream. But the online market, it's easy for people to ignore you or just not get you because you're not working. They're not seeing your spirit. They're just seeing your visuals. They're seeing your videos. So you have to accentuate yourself in order to be felt on the other side of a screen. And I just happen to have a lot of training in that. Plus, like, you know, on stage, I learned that no matter what you do, 2% of people will hate you. Like I can be playing the best show of my entire life. And at least two, if not way more of people will be like, that is the worst thing ever, you know? And that's not anything you can control. Like as boring as you can try and make yourself and as palatable, people are still going to hate you. So you might as well be great. So that so that 75 people can walk out of there being like, that was the best thing I've ever seen. Whether it's, you know, your copywriting checklist was the best copywriting checklist they ever saw because it was so, it made them feel something.
Mm-hmm. I love that you recognized in yourself when you were still doing the music side, the fear that came with you wanting to say something but then backing off, because that was you maybe, I hate saying playing small because it really wasn't playing small, but like it just, there was something in you that said, not right now. And the fact that you're able to recognize that in yourself and now use that to your advantage as you're showing other people how to launch and how to accentuate themselves online. Mm-hmm. How now, because you even said 2% of people are going to hate you. Mm-hmm. How now that you are strictly like doing the online marketing and online communities and stuff like that, how do you deal with negative self-talk or even like the hater talk that you get now just in the business that you're doing?
So I recently just like outsourced my email. Not that I get like a ton of hate talk or whatever, but enough, you know, like we all do. Especially the more you're out there, people are like, or if you're selling, and so I don't even want drama in my life. So might as well, like, somebody else can take care of my email and just delete that for me. Cause you know, it's really hard to see that no matter who you are in your own feed about yourself. So when I was a soloist, people were like, oh gosh, her music sucks. It was super personal. However, now when people say, oh, Rosie and the Riveters, you're not that great, I'm like, are you kidding me? Do you know my girls? My girls are amazing. You back off, right? And that's what my admin girl can do for me, right? She can be like, oh, you think so? Delete, delete, delete. Oh, and that's also, I have a zero tolerance for haters, like, and trolls. I'm like, I don't think you need to keep it. Like, sometimes, no. I never let them stay on because I know some people will be like, well, what if they're saying a nice critical, like an important critical statement? In what I do, there isn't like a political dialogue. It's just like me telling you how to be more productive. If there's a mean comment there, there doesn't need to be a discussion. I just delete you. That's this is how I roll because it's like, this is my sphere. This is my online world. And also negativity isn't, I hate it when I'm like going through somebody else's comments and I see a negative one. I don't feel good about that. But that just like kind of expanded into my realm. So it's kind of like a protector. And as far as now about like my own fear, I mean, the benefit of being online is that it's much easier to be a little bolder because you're not in front of people. You can practice more. You can edit your doc, you know, your blog if you want to. You can hide a bit. And I think it's just like paying attention. I think I personally have struggled because I think, you know, the blogs I love reading are not the blogs that are perhaps the best for me to write, if that makes sense. And I think that that's just like a continual experimentation as ourselves of what is it like, what is our magical special sauce? So the blogs I love reading are like those epic blog posts that are like so strategic and like, and they're like, oh my gosh, this person's brilliant. And there's like a million shares. And so I've been trying to like write those until I recently was just like, don't flirty, like that's not you. Like it's more about like my story and like my general like thinking about life is what people really enjoy about me or my brand. And it's not necessarily what I read of others. So I think I'm just like continuing to figure out who I am on this online sphere because it is a different stage than the person, like the one-on-one stage that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm. I love how you deal with it all. here's the thing. Like, there's always going to be constant changes going on, and you are one that just embraces them. Whether or not you delete the comments or don't care about people who walk out of your shows or whatnot, like, you truly mm-hmm. embrace the fact that if it's negative, you don't want to see it, and you know how to deal with it, whether it's internal or external. And to me, that says loads about who you are as a person and what you're also bringing to your business and your community and the people that you touch in the business that you're doing now. Because most people don't recognize that negativity is not something that they want. So they kind of let it in and they let it sit. Whereas you already know, I don't want this. So we're going to get rid of it.
Yeah. I would like to say that we should do this podcast every week because it's making me feel very good about myself. So I would really like this kind of encouragement on a weekly basis. I'm just saying, this is just like a possibility.
We'll do the Farida show.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think that also people believe this, like, for some reason there's like this idea, and it kind of comes back to that self-worth thought, like that they have to let like, those are valid opinions or like, this is a public sphere. And it's like, here's Facebook world. No, it's yours. You are allowed to place limits on people like pooping on you. Like, no, they're not allowed to. And people sometimes are, especially in the online world, are a little bit more, I don't know, like crazy. Like they're just like, and the other thing is like, there's 2% of people who won't like you. And there's 2 people who are bat crazy. And you can just delete those 2 because there's nothing about you. Like, you know, I've received like, eventually I want to like keep them so that I could read them And there's not like that many, but like I figure like over the years, I'm gonna get like enough of a smattering of like really weird comments that I could like read them to people to be like, listen, like people are crazy. You send them an email and they're like, oh, really? Don't email me ever again. I just recorded a blog about this. I'm like, why are you emailing me to unsubscribe? Unsubscribe yourself. There's an unsubscribe button on the email. You know, like you can take actions on that. Like you don't need to send me an email about all the things I'm doing wrong and ask me to unsubscribe you. You can just keep your ideas to yourself and unsubscribe like I politely do to people. but I mean, I think there's a challenge too of being a woman in which people don't just like, I think that women and men get different trolls online. Like, and one of the trolls is like, let me help you. Let me help you, Samantha, in how to be a better person. If you would do it just like this, you know, and it's kind of like a patronizing way, or like, you know, you swore too much or such and such. And I think that's a very different than what guys get, which are just like, you're a jerk, you know, for X and X and X reason. And it happens on stage too. Like I'll just like, it happens all the time. People will come up like, let me tell you that like your music would be so good, but like, I think you should smile more because it would make your music better. Like, or people who are like, have you guys ever considered this or this? And it's like, have you ever seen our show or listened to our music at all? Oh no, I just thought that's a good idea for you. So you're like, so you know nothing about what I do. And you have ideas for me? So you just have to kind of place limits on that, because sometimes people have ideas for you or commenting and they are just feeling more important than you in that moment. And that's cool. But delete that comment and don't think of it ever again.
You know, I feel like the internet did away with the, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. And it drives, I'm like, seriously, who raised you? Because... weren't you taught this? Like, it's something that's passed down. If you don't have something nice to say, don't do it. That includes the written word. Just stop typing.
Well, yeah, because I'm like, why did you take time to comment on this? Like, that's a waste of your time. Like, right? You are an important person. Go and do something fantastic. Don't waste time writing to me. Like, did this take you an hour to write? No, oh, man.
I so want to send that as the next response. You're a fantastic person. You're super important. Stop wasting your time on this. See you later.
For a long time, too, I strategically put spelling mistakes on my website just to repel people who are, like, really, really, really perfectionists, who are like, I would never work with you because you have spelling mistakes on your list. I'm like, I put those there for you, honey. Don't contact me. I don't so much anymore. Well, I probably do because I just naturally have spelling mistakes. But, you know, so sometimes there's that one too. Like somebody went through your site and spell checked it. And depending on your brand, that can be really helpful. And sometimes you're just like, you're very important. Go. You should have asked me to pay you for that, because I could have.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. I love everything that you said, too, just because it's so true. Like, for some reason, like, being online and not having, like, be in person, it's, like, the new sounding board for people, regardless of, like, who they are as a person. Like, if you are shouting things at me in all caps on, like, Facebook, like, I'm sorry, but you're about to get unfriended, because there's... Yeah. That. Like,
exactly.
Regardless of if I think you're, well, I don't really think anyone's opinion is really wrong. Regardless of if I agree with you or not, like, you're getting unfriended anyway, because I don't really need to have shouty caps all at me, because there's a reason for it.
And I think that too, like, it's also, when we think about it, it's about protecting our readers, like in our Facebook groups, it's like, sometimes people have contrary opinions, but they don't do it in a destructive way. And I've certainly received emails like that, that have been like gentle and kind and been like, you know what? I would have loved if you'd improved your course in this way. And then I've been like, hey, thanks for this email. And then been able to follow up being like, I improved it because I could actually hear you because you were kind and gentle and constructive. And that's the kind of feedback that we all still need. You know, and they can, those people who can exist in our Facebook group and elevate us and not have to be, you know, cause there's Debbie Downers in Facebook groups that we have to get rid of. And then there's some that are like giving us actual constructive feedback. That's really helpful and wonderful. And it's just like kind of learning where to do that and where not to do that.
I love that. Okay, so all this fantastic talk and advice, what advice would you have for newer entrepreneurs?
I just take action. Don't overthink things. I think we can kind of like get stuck in our head and be like, what should be the name of my company? I have to think about it for 3 months. It's like, it doesn't matter. You're going to probably change it. Or like, you know, when it comes to a service, it's like, should I provide this? Should I just keep going? Just try. Like, I feel like, you know, and there's like that common thing, like you got to niche down when you're a new business. It's like, yeah, but you got to like try a lot of things. It's like the spaghetti on the wall technique. Just like throw some spaghetti on the wall, see if it sticks. If it doesn't, move on. Like, I think that's a big thing. It's just like take a lot of action and see what works. And when things don't work, just like, and it happens, and I'll just break it to you. It happens even when you've had a business for a long time, because especially in the online world, you have to be really innovative a lot. And so you're kind of be like, okay, I know, I'm going to try a mastermind. Crickets, no one buys. You have a list of 10,000 people and they still aren't interested in that. And so you'd be like, okay, that didn't work. Next, you know, and you know, people are doing that all the time, right? Like they have a $1 million course and then the next year they launch a new course and it's like, and they think they're going to make $1 million and they make 100,000 and it's completely devastating because they're at a different place in their business. But that is constantly happening. So you just got to like spaghetti on the wall. And eventually you just learn all the stuff you don't want to do. So you don't do that. And then you still be like, oh, maybe I'll do these other things. You just keep trying. That's my biggest thing. It's like, don't think about it too much.
I swear you were just talking directly to me and I've been in business since 2009.
Well, we all do it, right? Like we all do it. And I mean, that's one of the benefits of finding a coach of whatever kind you get is this, like, sometimes I'll like be talking to a new coach and I'm like, oh, before we talked, I think I accidentally have been thinking about this for 3 months and I didn't do anything about it. I've just been like kind of thinking about it and not taking action or making a decision. Obviously some things we have to percolate on for a long time, but like the name of your business or the, you know, there's certain things it's like, does this matter? Like, does it like really, is it Rosie with a capital R or a lowercase r? I think I'm going to obsess about this for 5 minutes, you know? That's just some details I'd like to be anxious about for about 4 hours, four years, and then I'll be able to take action.
Yeah, no, I literally just had a call with my coach yesterday and said that exact thing to her when I got on the call. I said, okay, I booked this call because I'm overthinking things and I need you to stop me from overthinking things and help me move forward. So I stop sitting in this pit of, you know, should I do this or maybe this or this over here or this over, and in this big circular motion of I keep coming back over here and then I'm over here and then please just bring me to the center and help me.
That's very wise of you to get that outside help. Yeah, yeah, very wise of you.
You said that and I was like, oh my gosh, that was me yesterday.
But not today.
No, not today. Today I know what I'm doing. I'm moving forward. I'm taking action. I'm armed and ready to go. Okay, so do you have any other questions before I ask her the final one, Nicole?
No, I'm good. I'm just excited to see which final one you come up with.
Okay, so with as entertaining as this has been, I'm quite curious that if there was a movie produced about your life, who would play you and why?
Well, probably Alicia Silverstone because I look the most like her, or Zooey Deschanel when I'm not blonde. We kind of look very similar too. And when I'm not blonde and I have bangs, we look really similar. So, and maybe Zooey because she also, or Zooey, not really sure. She's also a cute little singer. We don't have the same voices, but at least she can sing somewhat. And I'm not sure about Alicia. Plus, I think I still sometimes eat meat, so Alicia might not want to cover me or play me because sometimes I eat meat. It's not very often, but it's a couple times a week. So,
wow, you really thought that through.
I really thought that. I'm really glad we had this time to think about it, to like really process it.
I could definitely see Zooey Deschanel, and I think it's Zooey. I have no idea if it's Zooey. I don't know. Mainly because I feel like at least the portion of you I know through your music has that same quirky comedic side that she has.
She can play the ukulele too, so that helps. Yeah.
Well, Yeah. And I mean, we've seen her in what? Yes, Man. She does the music and she just got that spontaneous, fun, lively, and very comedic between all of the shows that she's done. So I definitely see that.
You support my decision. Excellent.
Yes. Much more than Alicia. Alicia, I love her. Don't get me wrong. But I think we more so relate her to her character Cher in Clueless. And I don't know that I would necessarily say
It's true. Yeah. That's true. This is a good point. I'm glad you support my decision and gave me some solid reasonings as to why. So that I know that I made the right life choice.
Yeah, and the next time somebody asks you, you'll know exactly who to.
Yeah, exactly. I've really sorted out. Nicole and Samantha really helped me on this podcast figure it out, and I know that I've made the right choice.
I was gonna say my vote's for Zoe too.
Brilliant.
All the reasons that Samantha said, and the whole Alicia Silverstone one too. I'm like, she does look like Alicia, but I don't really think people want to associate her with Clue.
This is a big life-changing decision. Well, thank you so very much for joining us today. It's been a blast. As Sasha would say, I got my ab workout today.
Good.
So yes, we're good there. For those of you listening, go ahead and join us over at beautifullyboldpodcast.com for the show notes and the Beautifully Bold in Business Facebook group to continue the conversation. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.